Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, November 21st, 2016. I am Jason Powell, and I'll be joined after the break by Brian Fritz of Sporting News and BetweenTheRopes.com. He's going to help me break down WWE Survivor Series and just what WWE was thinking when they had Bill Goldberg destroy Brock Lesnar in 90 seconds. All right, Brian Fritz from BetweenTheRopes.com joins me now. And Brian, Goldberg beats Brock Lesnar, and Brock really didn't get any offense in unless you count picking up Goldberg and carrying him to the corner. This was about as lopsided as it gets. I've heard a lot of mixed opinions on this show, or I guess just we'll stick with this match to start with. A lot of mixed takes on it. There's some people that really liked it. I think more people, it seems, felt like it was either too short, it didn't live up to the hype, and or they weren't satisfied with who they chose to beat Brock Lesnar in this fashion. Where do you stand on this?
Well, in the instant reaction of it, I was not a fan of it, just because the way that they had built up Brock, how much they had protected him, and to give that away to a 49-year-old in a flash, I can justify it from the standpoint that it is something different. It is something that got people talking. If they wanted to put Goldberg over, and they're apparently going to do a rematch, then I can understand it from that standpoint and to do something that's kind of shocking. That's what they like, are these big moments that people will remember, you know, like Lesnar ending the streak. And now you've got Bill Goldberg coming back and ending Brock Lesnar in under 90 seconds. But I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered going forward, and now they do the booking to protect Brock and to see where they're going to go with all of this, because he was so well protected. You know, you got a guy that was on this big long winning streak who was destroying people left and right, and now you gave up that precious loss for him to Bill Goldberg, and he's going to be back for one more match, maybe two. And I get it from a standpoint, too, that they really don't have any strong baby faces in the company, and this is a moment to have Goldberg come back and to get a win and get it in this fashion. But there's a lot of questions that go with it as well.
Well, for me, it just comes down to it works in the short term. You know, if you want to just look to WrestleMania 33 and not beyond, okay, yeah, you've got yourself a marquee rematch. There's talk they could do another match at the Rumble. And then I would assume the third match would be at WrestleMania if they go that route. I'm not quite sure how they're going to do it, but I think one way or another we're going to see Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg facing off at WrestleMania. And, yeah, it helps this year's WrestleMania. But what does it do beyond that? You know, and you can rebuild Brock Lesnar. I know there's people going, he's damaged goods now. You can rebuild Brock Lesnar. It's one loss if he dominates Bill Goldberg. Let's just say he wins the next two matches. We'll say there's two even. He wins them both. Yeah, Brock's rebuilt. You can have Brock throw furniture around, destroy people, all the things that Brock Lesnar does, and people take him seriously again. But you're kind of pushing back the point of when you can build Brock up enough again so that it really means something when somebody else beats him. And so I don't like that it's really just short-term booking for this WrestleMania only. It doesn't do anything to address that ongoing problem of today's stars don't feel like the true stars in that company. I wish this had been Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, even Finn Balor if they waited till he returned. Just someone, and people can pick whoever they want from that roster, someone who's on the day-to-day roster, Brian, who can be positioned as a star. You could have made a star like this and made a star for the long term, not just through WrestleMania 33.
I agree with that. I understand that there is an aura that goes with Goldberg, and they did a fantastic job of bringing him back and protecting him.
Agreed.
The promo that he did that night when he came back was awesome. I mean, this was probably the best build they've done for somebody coming back in a long, long time. It's just, you know, the finality of that match. And yes, they can have a rematch, whether it's at the Rumble or if it's at WrestleMania, and Lesnar can win that match. He's not going to probably win it as decisively, and you can, you know, start the rebuild for him. But now you put a dent in the aura of Brock Lesnar, and they had spent so much time, you know, in building him up to this point and making him so unique, and they gave it away in this fashion. And I agree that you could have done something with somebody else that's going to be there longer term. You know, even when you talk about somebody like a Samoa Joe or a Shinsuke Nakamura, yes, those guys are in their mid to late 30s, but they're going to be with the company for another 5 years at least, if not longer. So there's more time with them. With Goldberg, you're talking about 1 to 2 matches. So they just decided, let's go with the superhero story rather than going with something like this, which has been a big argument because I think they will look at it and say, look at the business we're doing right now. Look at the popularity of Goldberg. He's meant a lot more than we ever thought. Look at the buzz from him even just coming back to the video game even before we signed him to do a match. And I think they looked at that and just said, hey, we got to do something here. And if we can get him in here longer, then we need to take advantage of that. And this was the way to do that. But, you know, I will make the argument as well that, yes, Goldberg is a big star. Yes, you can do big business right now. But there needs to be a way where you can do big business right now by bringing back a Bill Goldberg or a star from the past, but at the same time, protect and build your current roster of guys that are going to be there for a long time. Because I think that's the argument you can make in all of this, is that are you doing enough with the guys on your roster right now, with your current stars that are there week in and week out, to make sure they can get to the level of a Brock Lesnar or a Bill Goldberg? And I think that you can say, without question, they're not doing a good enough job in that area. And that's why it really stands out when you do something like this with Goldberg and Lesnar.
Would you rather see at WrestleMania 33 Goldberg Lesnar or Shane McMahon Lesnar?
Goldberg Lesnar. I don't want to see Shane McMahon in the ring anymore. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Shane, but I don't want to see it, especially when it comes to Shane and Lesnar.
Right opponent I'm okay with if it's like Shane and Miz, for instance. All right, we can have some
sure.
fun with that. I don't need to see Shane being Superman in there with Brock Lesnar. Would you rather... the guy I think that Vince McMahon always wanted to build up Brock Lesnar to feed to was Roman Reigns. Was having Goldberg beat Brock instead of Reigns the right move, if you had to choose between the two?
I mean, the Reigns one is the one we've been waiting for a long time, right? And I don't know if now would have been the right time for it, just because of the way that they've had Reigns positioned again. And if you did that at WrestleMania, it'd be, what, the third straight year you'd be putting Roman in that position at Mania? So I don't know if that would have been the right move right now, but maybe, who knows, maybe at WrestleMania 34 that would have been the right move, and you kept Brock strong until then. If you were certain that that was the guy that you wanted to beat Lesnar. There's so many different questions that go into this, too, about where are they going to do the rematch? Like, is it going to be a Mania? Is it going to be at the Rumble? Do they feel like they need to do it at the Rumble because, you know, they're trying to sell 60,000 tickets at the Alamo Dome for that, and they needed a big match? Does that mean that The Undertaker's not going to be wrestling there, and maybe he's just going to wrestle at WrestleMania? And then who's he going to face? I mean, there's a lot of ripple effects that go into this as well.
Yeah, and I bring up Shane McMahon and Roman Reigns because as much as, you know, you and I may talk and others may talk about Samoa Joe, Shinsuke, Balor, you know, pick your current main roster star, or for that matter NXT star, I guess, just your full-timer. I don't think Vince McMahon takes those options seriously. I think he looks at the three guys we just referenced, Reigns, Goldberg, and Shane, as the potential Brock opponents for Mania, and we see what he settled in on. When, you know, just looking at it through Vince's tunnel vision, I think it makes sense to go Goldberg over the other two because I'm with you on Shane. And then with Roman, I don't know if the time's ever going to be right because Vince has done so much damage to him by just shoving him down the throats of viewers as a babyface and just being so reluctant to turn him. I don't know that we're going to get to that point. Now, if it was, yeah, he turns heel and cheats and beats Brock, well, then we're talking. But I just don't know that Vince McMahon's ever going to give in on that. So knowing that, I mean, as much as I'm kind of down on this move of making Goldberg the guy to slay the beast of Brock Lesnar, I do think it makes more sense than going with one of those other two matches this year at WrestleMania. I wish Vince McMahon wasn't so set in his ways. But, I mean, do you think that Vince McMahon looks at NXT and is salivating, thinking about the great things he can do with Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura?
Probably not at this point. And, you know, I wish he was. You know, with Joe, you're talking about just such a unique guy. He's probably the closest thing that they have to somebody that is like Lesnar, that has that certain aura. And I know you're wondering, like, okay, who's babyface, who's heel, from our perspective, if those two guys were going to have a match, I think from WWE's perspective, the way they look at things right now is, who cares? I mean, if you utilize Joe the way that you have in NXT, but you did it on the main roster, and say he was already there, and you started to do that, and people got familiar with him, and you could kind of see a meeting between those two guys, that they were slowly but surely building to that, without them ever really facing each other, you know, or running into each other. Maybe they cross paths, but there's little things that are sown, you know, to where you can see that sooner or later they're going to meet, and you just start building to that towards Mania. That would be something. But I don't know if, first of all, I don't even know if Samoa Joe is ever going to be on the main roster.
Yeah.
And secondly, I don't know if he is there, how are they going to book him? Because, you know, they might book him like everybody else, and that's what I would expect. I mean, Kevin Owens was a guy that when they brought him up, they did a really good job with him, and I know he lost to Cena a couple months in, but they did a really good job with Kevin. Kevin is still a special talent and is one of the better guys in the roster, but they've really marginalized him over the last few months. And, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to flip the switch on him a little bit, just because he is the Universal Champion, and so they could really ratchet him up very easily. But, I mean, it just goes to show that there's different guys that they have an opportunity to easily protect, and they still don't on the main roster, or if not, at least protect, not properly utilized to take them into another level.
Now, coming up at Roadblock, they're advertising on the Arena website, and it's WWE advertising, so it's not like the Arena's going into business for itself, but Kevin Owens defending his championship against Roman Reigns just for the Universal Championship, no U.S. title on the line. Do you think that match happens? Because I'm looking at this going, sure seems like they want to do something with Jericho, and Stephanie made it seem like there'd be hell to pay if they lost that match. Roman was the last man in there. So is that their way of getting out of this? Do they go with something other than Reigns and Kevin Owens?
I've got a feeling they're still going to find a way to do KO and Roman.
Wow.
I really do. I mean, and I don't know if that means that he's going to win the championship or what, but who knows? Maybe this is, hey, let's get Roman ready for WrestleMania again, and let's put the title on him, which I don't think the timing is right, but I think that's probably the match they're going to go with. The only way they get around that, and I'm wondering about how they could do this, especially because guys are on two different, you know, rosters or the two different brands. I mean, they have the Shield do that little get-together, you know, at Survivor Series. Do they do something more with that? Because it sure feels like they could do the Shield against the Wyatts. The problem is, obviously, the brand split. So how do you make that happen? I don't know. I mean, if they really wanted to, and I know the Shield is popular, they could really turn the Shield heel. And they could do a heel run with those guys if they found a way to put them all together. But there's a lot of ifs that go with that.
Yeah, in the 80-minute member-exclusive audio review that Jake Burnett and I did last night for the .NET members, he talked about, is something we talked about back in the day with the club just blowing off the brand split, going, yeah, whatever, it doesn't apply to us, and then showing up wherever they felt like it. And I think you could do that with the Shield. And I think you could do that with them as heels. Be a little awkward because, well, they're all baby faces right now, but I don't think it would be damaging. I think it would be pretty exciting if it happened, and it would certainly put Roman Reigns in the position that I think he needs to be in, that Vince McMahon just won't put him in. I don't know how realistic it is, but I think it'd be fun if it did happen.
Don't you feel like right now we're in this period, like especially after December, that once you're officially kind of on that road to WrestleMania, which begins at the end of December, beginning of January, once they do that, you can almost throw the brand split out the window to some extent, but don't you expect some guys to start showing up on both shows?
I do, yeah. I mean, or at least just once you get to Mania, at least certainly some matches that ignore the brand split rules. I don't know how careful they'll be with that. I hope they are. I mean, but I suspect there's going to be at least a couple that Raw versus SmackDown wrestler somehow, some way. I mean,
you could do something as simple to it. Like, what if they do Roadblock? And what if they did have Roman actually win the championship? Well, then maybe that opens the door for Owens to win the Rumble, and then he challenges AJ Styles for that championship at Mania.
Yeah, that is one of the ways. I mean, that's something to keep in mind this year at the Rumble, is that I would think that's going to be in play. It certainly was the last time they did the brand split. The Rumble winner chooses which championship he wants to challenge for, and I hope they keep that going. I think that gives them, and it is an easy way to cross that brand split with it making sense. There's some logic to it. It's not just, they've decided that on a whim that they're just going to let this happen. What did you think of the two stipulations, the title matches? You had the Cruiserweight title potentially moving to SmackDown, didn't happen. You had the Intercontinental Championship potentially moving to Raw, didn't happen. I know I've heard from people who are bothered by this, that why bother teasing two stipulations that you're not going to deliver on?
I wasn't bothered by it. I mean, the IC title I was not surprised by. I think the Miz and Maurice act has been so good that they need to keep the title on him. I was a little bit surprised by the Cruiserweight division. Now, mind you, I thought, doing Brian Kendrick against Kalisto and then having Kalisto win that was a bad move, just because they haven't done anything with Kalisto as of late. So if I was wondering about that, so I guess it shouldn't surprise me that they didn't make the move with that, but it feels like the Cruiserweight should be on SmackDown, but especially with 205 Live, starting up here pretty soon. But I guess at the same time, Raw is 3 hours. They need something extra to help fill the time, and that's what the Cruiserweights are there for.
Yeah, I actually give WWE credit for coming up with stipulations that felt realistic. There were a lot of people that thought both titles were going to flip-flop. You'd end up with the Cruiserweights on SmackDown, Intercontinental Championship going to Raw. I was less enthused about the IC title going to Raw because I don't know why Raw would need two secondary championships. I know they've had it in the past, but big deal. It seemed odd to me, even with SmackDown being a thinner roster. I wish they would have moved the Cruiserweights to Tuesday, but I think they deserve credit for coming up with a couple of hooks for two different matches that otherwise just would have been there. I mean, Miz and Zayn would have been fun. Nothing wrong with it. But the Cruiserweight match would have been just another Cruiserweight match. And at least they gave you something to make that match a little more interesting, even if they didn't follow through on the stipulation that they teased.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to throw stipulations out there, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. You're just doing that to try to build intrigue into a match. And it just so happened that neither of those things really went into play. So I'm perfectly fine with that. And, it doesn't mean that they can't do something down the line here.
And your thoughts on the Team Raw versus Team SmackDown Survivor Series elimination matches? Anything jump out at you? Did you enjoy the concept? Do you hope to see it again next year?
I mean, I just wish they would do something that would make them more meaningful. And I'm not exactly sure what that could be. But I think the potential is there. They just got to find something that can make it mean more for, when Raw goes against SmackDown. Something else has to be on the line rather than just bragging rights, And I don't know, like I said, I don't know exactly what that could be. And there's a bunch of different things they could come up with. But, other than that, especially when it came to, the men's match, I thought that was a really, really good match. There was a lot of different elements. It lasted a long time. Some people say it dragged, but I thought they did a really good job with it, especially at the end, when they shook it up. You had the Shield get back together, Ambrose doing what he did. Now, mind you, I don't know why nobody was disqualified when he got involved and Luke Harper got involved. That's me nitpicking, I guess, but I can overlook that a little bit, or at least WWE wants us all to overlook that, especially when other people were DQ'd in that match. I thought that match was a lot of fun. The crowd was really into it. I give a lot of credit to that Toronto crowd because they were on fire for most of the night. So that match was a lot of fun. The women was a little bit clunky, but it was okay. And the tag match, it was okay. I was surprised they eliminated New Day as early as they did. And it was the Usos that were there at the end for SmackDown. But I'm really not surprised that Sheamus and Cesaro won because it leads to them being able to do more. Now they're going to get a tag title shot. So that made sense.
I just wish this had been a showcase for American Alpha. I don't know what they're doing with those guys. They're just being completely wasted right now, and it's kind of shocking to see that. Yeah, they're going with Heath Slater and Rhino, and American Alpha are the ones spinning their wheels. It's kind of crazy. Does anything come?
I wonder about. Let me ask you this: Do you think that the Revival could be coming up? Maybe I'm just reading into it, but was it Dash Wilder that put it on Twitter the other night where he said "been real"? people are wondering, does that mean he's getting called? They're getting called up.
I think he's having some fun. I like the revival.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them be called up, but I think it needs to be SmackDown. If they get called up to Raw, I think they just end up in vaudevillain territory.
I agree.
A better team, but I just don't think Vince McMahon's going to be excited by them.
That's why it's like I could easily see them staying in NXT longer. The matches with DIY are incredible, and that could continue. Or I could see them go up, and it would have to be SmackDown, and then you could redo the feud between them and American Alpha.
I want to get back to NXT in just a second, but as far as the men's match, that was the one where Taker made it seem like there'd be hell to pay if Team SmackDown lost. They ended up winning, but the only thing I could see there that Taker could possibly complain about, well, two things. One, John Cena wasn't even in the match, and you could easily go, well, why weren't you? The other thing is Dean Ambrose coming out, being called a stupid idiot by the fans even for basically working against his own team. Do you think that goes anywhere, or is this just forgotten now that Team SmackDown won?
I think that's the one that will go someplace. I don't think Taker can call up Cena because then Cena can go, well, why weren't you in the match?
Exactly, yeah.
But they could do something with Dean, and maybe you do Ambrose against Taker at the Rumble.
Do you think we get Taker Cena this year, next year, WrestleMania 33?
I hope so. I mean, I'd like to see that match. But the thing is, they're still want to do something with Cena, trying to get, the Ric Flair world title record. So there's a way to even do it. I mean, you could somehow get the belt on Taker, and then he could face Cena, or maybe Cena wins the belt at the Rumble, and he goes into Mania with it, and he has to take on Taker to really show, just to have the match, the Clash of the Titans at WrestleMania, and there's a little bit more on the line. Then it could be like title versus career, something like that. I think we could get that match. I'd like to see it.
I really thought they were going to do it almost felt like AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose's role should have been reversed, where it's Styles coming out being the nuisance, and working against his own team selfishly because he's mad that he was eliminated or just has the issue with Dean Ambrose, and then the Shield members end up putting him through the table. Because that way, at least, you have something where Taker can hold a grudge with Styles for not being true to his team. Didn't happen. Do you think anything comes out of the Raw side? Stephanie McMahon making it seem like someone will be fired, there's going to be changes, all these different things. They won two of the elimination matches, but her focus seemed to be on the men's. Is that forgotten, or does someone get the boot tonight, or, is there some fallout from this at the very least?
There's at least going to be some fallout, because we got to have that Stephanie McMahon moment of her, berating somebody backstage, or even, in the ring. So I expect that to happen. I'm just not sure who exactly it would be. That's why I kind of wonder. Yeah, it might be Mick. I mean, when it comes to all the different things between everybody, I still wonder if they do something with the Shield and find a way around that, and if they are heels. Because, it was in Toronto. It's a unique situation. But they almost did like a double turn with Ambrose and Styles on that show. But it might just be forgotten. They might say, hey, that's just the way that the crowd was reacting on this one night. I don't know. There's a lot of different directions that it can go. And that's why when you have this brand split, do you just ignore that at this time of the year, or do you use that and say, yeah, we tease some stuff, but we can't really follow through on it because everybody's on different brands?
You're 4 months into this. The one exception, I would be okay if there was a group of rebels, if you will, who just said, screw the brand split. We're going to do what I want. We're what we want. Try to stop us. That's different to me than all of a sudden you just have a guy crossing over here and another guy crossing over there. We're 4 months into this thing. I don't want to see them just throw it out completely for WrestleMania even.
So you're saying we get the Shield back together and they start taking over both brands, and just when we think they couldn't get any better, Hulk Hogan comes back to lead them.
Sure, that's exactly what I'm saying. Perfect.
Well, I was joking around with somebody, and they were talking about, like, oh my God, Lesnar beat Goldberg, Goldberg beat Lesnar in 90 seconds. And I said, man, wait till Hogan comes back and beats Goldberg in 30 seconds.
Wow.
I'm like, that's not happening, but.
Hey, and will we ever get an answer as to what the hell Triple H is up to?
He must be on vacation or something, man. Storylines. I don't know.
So weird.
I don't know. I mean, I thought all along they were going to do him against Seth Rollins at Mania, and they could still do that. It's, we got to see him show up at some point here.
Yeah.
Maybe he's with, I can't think of her name, the redhead that's on vacation in storyline.
Eva.
Yeah, maybe he's with her.
It's such a weird thing. They had people excited to at least know what the explanation was going to be, and it's just been forgotten. They've moved on, and I kind of fear that's what they're going to do with these stipulations, or not stipulations, but just the threats coming out of Survivor Series. But we'll see. I mentioned we'd get back to NXT, and we're not going to go over the whole card or anything like that. Zach Zimmerman and I got together on Saturday night, did a almost 40-minute audio review of that show. So if you were interested in membership, you know the deal. Visit the main page, look in the sign-up area, three different pricing options. $750 gets you in the door for 1 month. You can save yourself some coin by signing up for either 6 months or the annual option. Annual option brings the price down to an average of $550 a month. So you're saving $2 a month if you take that annual option. Ad-free access to ProWrestling.net. All of our audio content available from our entire history. 2.net members. Visit the main page at ProWrestling.net for more details. But with NXT, I kind of want to get into what you're talking about, the revival. Is anyone coming up out of this show? Joe's the new champion. You would think he is going to be sticking around. There's always, anytime a champion loses or there's a high-profile loss, people start asking the question, so is Shinsuke Nakamura about to make his main roster debut? Do you think anyone's coming up?
I do think somebody's coming up. I think at the Royal Rumble, we will see the debut on the main roster of Ty Dillinger when he comes out number 10.
Yeah, I think that happens, and you know what? I hope they put him right back down in NXT after that plays out.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll stay up or not, but I think Ty, they've got something with Ty, but they still, I think, need to probably do more with him in the NXT brand right now, because they still really haven't totally utilized him there, I don't think. And now is the time, because of the depth is just not there with that brand. I don't know about Joe and Nakamura. I guess I could see one of them at the Rumble or right after WrestleMania, like we saw last year, but I don't know if we see both. The revival I could see coming up. I could see them coming up at any moment. But outside of that, those would be the only guys that I could really see.
I think Joe won the championship, and the idea is to get a third match out of that. That they're going to Royal Rumble weekend, assuming there's an NXT show the night before the Rumble, I think we get the rematch there. And at that point, who knows, maybe the loser ends up in the Royal Rumble match itself. You know, there's a
way. Well, isn't there a special NXT show coming up in Japan?
Yeah, I don't know if have they billed it as a live special or anything, though?
I don't think they have, but I would not be surprised if that is a live special, and I think that's going to be a cage match, and I think Nakamura is going to win the title back there.
Okay, yeah, that would make some sense. I mean, Samoa Joe's headlined 5 NXT takeovers in a row now, and they did the thing with Balor where it went 3 matches. And I think they want to do 3 matches at least with Joe and Nakamura, but they don't want it to be too similar. And that's my best guess as to why the title changed hands there. And you may be absolutely right about Nakamura regaining the championship in Japan. But so I don't know that either guy is coming up right now. And Dillinger, I just want to clarify, the gimmick is over. Yeah, people like to chant 10. And he's a talented guy. You know, Seth Rollins talked about him being the guy that he worked out with and how fortunate he was to, when he was coming back from his knee surgery, to be able to get in there with a pro like him. Really endorsed him, and people say really good things about him in the ring. I think the popularity, Brian, it reminds me of Lance Hoyt in TNA to some extent, where people like chanting Hoyt, Hoyt, Hoyt. I don't know that Ty Dillinger is over as much as yelling 10 is over.
Well, and I don't know what the reaction is going to be when he. It's one thing to be in Toronto where he had a big NXT show the night before and it's a very smart audience, and it's going to be another one when you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or you're in Davenport, Iowa, and there's Ty Dillinger, and the crowd might not know who he is.
Yeah, and if it was like, but he's got a great gimmick, and you know he's got all the tools, cool.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, you can get somebody over that way. But I just, to me, it's they yell 10, and there's not much more to it than that. I still don't think he's found the right look for himself yet. I think this needs more time. I'd hate to see him called up and end up like so many others, where Adam Rose is a perfect example of something that was over at the NXT level at the time, the studio level, because they weren't doing a lot of house shows and things. So you get something over with that small studio crowd. It's over with people who watch those shows and not much more than that. So I think we're on the same page as far as, I don't know that this goes beyond NXT. There's going to be NXT fans at every show. Maybe it catches on, maybe it doesn't. But, I mean, do you feel like he's over? Like, if for some reason 10 never existed, would these fans be as into Ty Dillinger right now?
Probably not. That's why I think he needs to do a little bit more in NXT. He's got all the talent in the world, but I think they need to push him a little bit harder in NXT just so people can see him on that level little bit more, even just the NXT audience. So that way it's a little bit more acceptable when he comes up, and maybe the word spreads a little bit more. And then on top of that, you've got this character, you've got the 10 thing, so that can help. Because, I mean, how easily could this backfire where if he went on the main roster and he's always talking about how he's a perfect 10, but he loses matches all the time? He could almost become a comedy guy.
Yeah, and I don't want to see that happen to him. I think there is something there, but they need to take some time with this. And final question, do we see more of Mickie James? Not just in NXT, but maybe on the main roster.
I do. I mean, I think it'll be a really, really smart move to bring her in, because she's obviously very talented. She can do a lot in the ring still. She's a veteran. I think she could help a lot of the other women that are there as well. Maybe don't have as much experience. It's just good to have a veteran around and somebody that can still go in the ring. I mean, she can instruct outside the ring, but she can also do it in the ring. It's a role that they have somewhat with Natalya that I think they could probably even do a little bit more with, but it wouldn't hurt to have Mickie there as well, and I think she'd be a welcome addition.
I would put Mickie on SmackDown. I would have it revealed that she is the one, not Carmella, not Natalya, who took out Nikki at the pay-per-view last night. There's obviously some history with her and John Cena that's been fairly well chronicled that the hardcore audience is going to know about. If everyone involved is comfortable at least playing on, I don't need to become the overwhelming majority. You don't need to start airing dirty laundry, but you can. We're now at the point where they're acknowledging on WWE television, the main shows, that Cena and Nikki are an item. I think there's something you can do with that. Or even if you just don't mention John Cena, you can have it basically be implied for that audience, but I think you can still have it a really nice program. And SmackDown needs heels in the women's division. I mean, they've been kind of getting by with Alexa Bliss, and I think she's shown that, you know, she's improved. I think she's done a nice job in her role, but the numbers are so small there. Natalya is busy reciting lyrics. Carmella's doing a nice job with Nikki, but I don't think any of them feel like they're at nearly as big of a deal as Mickie James, where you can all of a sudden you get Mickie James, Nikki feels like it matters. Mickie and Becky Lynch for that women's championship matters. I think she'd be a fine addition to the SmackDown roster, and I really hope it happens.
Yeah, I would like to see her there as well. There's a lot of women for her to work with. And you mentioned the whole Cena thing. I mean, hey, not only do you have storylines in SmackDown, but I think you've got the hook for the next season of Total Divas right there.
Yeah, no kidding. And for anyone going, well, boy, but she's a babyface, watch her in TNA if you missed any of that. And obviously she worked as a heel in WWE earlier in her career. She can definitely be a babyface, but I think there's a bigger need on the heel side, on the SmackDown side right now. But, I mean, she, Brian, I know you saw that stuff that she was doing back in those days, and she was a really good heel. I don't think there just wasn't as much of an audience out there. She's versatile. She can play whatever role they want her to as far as heel babyface is concerned.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think she wants to be there, I think. I think she wants to be there, you know, still in the ring, but even if it was something where it's more instructional, I think she would welcome that. And she brings a lot to the table. You know, I think you talk about, you know, possible baggage. I think a lot of that stuff is in the rearview mirror. Look at it now, she's got a family.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she's where she wants to be out of life, and she's just looking for a little bit more out of her career, and this is the place that she wants to be, and I think we should give her a chance.
It was a fun match. I really enjoyed that. The NXT women's title match. I think some people were surprised by that. Just Mickey's been out of sight, out of mind for them because they weren't watching TNA. And even if you were, it's been a while since she's been on TNA television. They really did a nice job. And definitely enjoyed the NXT show overall. But Brian, what's going on at BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News?
Sporting News. Best thing is probably just follow me on Twitter. It's at Brian Fritz. And you can see all the different sporting news pieces I have. Recently, speaking with Paul Heyman, speaking with Charlotte, and even, you know, TJ Perkins not too long ago, so you can keep up on all my work there. And like I said, the easiest place is just follow me on Twitter, at Brian Fritz.
And you will be at WrestleMania weekend again, and I know you get a ton of video interviews and things of that nature during Mania weekend. So, Brian, mm-hmm. always a good person to follow on Twitter. Did Paul pick on you?
A little bit.
He's been known to.
Not too bad. Not too bad, you know. There was a couple of things where he wasn't picking on me, but I could tell he's being a bit sarcastic.
Not.
So, you know, it's typical Paul. The funny thing was, is as soon as the interview got done, we had like a nice normal little minute conversation before we had to move on to the next interview. It's just kind of like, so, how's it been? How you been doing? You okay? It's good stuff like that. So, yeah. That's brutal, man. I mean, he wasn't totally in character the entire time, but some of it, you know, he was laying it on thick. So it's nothing out of the ordinary.
Got to do what he's got to do, I suppose. Well, thank you very much for joining me today. And, hey, everybody, if hopefully the audio quality was good. We were going to do this our normal way via Skype. And, unfortunately, there was someone sleeping where Brian wanted to record, and so we had to switch to the telephone. Is that person up yet?
I don't know yet. I'm sitting out in my car. I can go back inside and check. So, yeah, here's the story. I missed my day job as I'm on call working at an airport, a private airport. It's actually an airport where when WWE comes to Orlando, this is where they land. They always land early in the morning before I get here. But, I work here. I'm on call. And there's a pilot's lounge, which is where I normally hang out. But there was somebody in there, and they were sleeping. So I figured, you know what, I probably should not be in the room and let this person rest.
Well, hey, we have breaking news to close this out today, Brian.
Ooh.
Hope you're sitting down. WWE has launched the Bella Twins YouTube page.
Whoa!
I know. Wow.
Uncomfortable moments with Daniel Bryan as he is told he has to go someplace or do something he does not want to do.
That's a weekly thing for him, isn't it?
Yes. It absolutely is.
On that note,
and you could have John Cena break the fourth wall like he's in the office or something as he looks at the camera.
Perfect. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to Brian Fritz. Follow him on Twitter at Brian Fritz, with Brian with an I, not unlike my brother, B-R-I-A-N Fritz. And you can, of course, follow me at Pro Wrestling Net. Until next time, take care.